We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Dusty.
There's a force in the universe that makes things happen.
And friends.
All you have to do is get in touch with them. Stop thinking. Let things happen. And be the ball.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club. Join Dirt and Sprague June 6th for a day on the course. Secure your tee time now at 1080thefan.com.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
All right, now number three, as this is PGA week in Tulsa, we're looking at, on the Golf Channel right now, the only piece of green grass in Tulsa. Everything else is just like golden, dead grass.
Yeah.
Andrew Nemec is a friend of the day. We're talking recruiting with Andrew Nemec and his path into the world of recruiting. Boy, those two stories were, whoa, something else. But NIL, you alluded that earlier. I am on the team of, I think in time, both the transfer portal and NIL will level themselves out. Right now, we're at a peak with both, where unfortunately we're going to have a lot of cautionary tales from players who enter the portal and they get stranded. And these boosters are going to realize that are just now in the recruiting game and figuring it out that it ain't as easy as just, hey, we're going to pay this guy and he's going to be awesome for us once he shows up on campus. How do you feel that the NIL and transfer portal are going to move across the world of college football?
I think in a vacuum, three things made sense. Giving athletes an extra year of eligibility.
Yes.
Because of COVID. The transfer portal and transferring once for free.
Uh-huh.
And NIL. In a vacuum, all of them make sense. And independently, had they all been introduced independently of one another, it would be okay.
Right.
However, we have all-time highs in transfers. We have all-time highs in eligibility and roster saturation. Everybody thinks it's that senior class got an extra year. That's not how it actually worked for college football programs. What it was is their true freshmen and redshirt freshmen came back the next year as true freshmen and redshirt freshmen, and they brought in 25 more scholarship players.
Yep.
So everyone had double freshman classes. It's a four-year problem. I hear smart people who are like, well, it's over now. The seniors graduated. It's like, no. This is going to be a lingering issue for the next 2 and 3 years because they gave freshmen double years. So every program got double freshmen. So,
which if you were a freshman, by the way, that is awesome for you because that gives you one more year to develop and one more year of college that your career could be over.
Here's the other piece that people don't know with the extra year of eligibility, which is in part fueling so many kids in the transfer portal. Did you know that it's not a free year for everybody? It's a free year for everybody if granted by the coaching staff.
Right.
Did you know that?
I didn't until I
really dug. So there are programs who have juniors who had juniors during that time who aren't very good. And their coaching staff said, you're not getting an extra year. You're a senior next year. You got one more year. They're trying to run them out.
We'll honor your 4 years.
Sophomores who were starters got an extra year. Freshmen who showed promise fought for an early extra year. And in some cases, guys who were on the fence, like you're a sophomore, you're a backup, you're a swing tackle, you're good, we don't know how you're going to develop. You don't have to grant it to them at that time. You can grant them that extra year at any time during a four-year during their eligibility window. Mm. So if you are a senior and you break out and you were a third stringer, and then as a senior you were a starter and you kill it, they can go, oh, you get another senior year.
Dude,
I didn't know any of that until I asked. So the roster.
That's the old school way where scholarships were year to year, and that's when coaches used to screw players over. Now you have most scholarships in most Power Five, or I think all the Power Five conferences now are 4 year scholarships, right? All of them are offering the 4 year scholarship.
But you can run guys out.
Right. You can run.
And programs are.
And they become non counters to your 85, but they're just not on the football team. Like, you can still go to school here, but you're not playing.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, 24/7 did a great job. They had anonymous sourcing for all this, but they asked Power 5 conference coaches all the way down to low-level, not very good FCS. And they asked, you know, what are you doing with your current roster? And most said, the problem is not recruiting our current roster. You know, the best players, I mean, outside of guys like Travis Dye, which was really wild,
that
actually.
Was weird.
It's a really weird story. Because you are close to your teammates, you'd think. You know, I don't blame him. But at the same time, like, don't you have some loyalty to your teammates and stuff? No, you didn't.
Nope,
like, okay. No, okay, you're going to go to the rival school. Okay. And for the most part, you know, the guys who are playing on your team and are having success, they want to stay because they're already playing and having success, unless they get a call to go compete for a national title. The guys that what coaches are doing is they're actively de-recruiting the bottom half of their roster to try to roll the dice again and bring in 15 other 4 stars or 5 stars or 3 stars in the hopes those guys pan out. So I checked that out because I had there was anonymous source. So I called Pac-12 schools and said, you know, here's the quote. What do you think? Every single school said, oh, at least a third of our roster and more like half. All the way, and I have quite a few contacts in the Pac-12, so I ran the spectrum.
Yeah.
And, you know, people know where I'm from, so they can probably put this together. But called the spectrum of coaches, and all across the spectrum, it was the same. We are actively telling kids, you should leave. You're not going to play. You should leave. So because we have too many guys on scholarship because we got double freshmen, and we'd like to have a recruiting class that isn't 7 guys. That's why the portal's so overloaded, is coaches are telling kids to leave.
And you appreciate their honesty, but there's going to be the cautionary tales of, look, there's going to be guys just sitting in the portal who don't find a place to play.
You're not going to play, and we're not giving you an extra year. Yeah. So you can transfer, and you can transfer as a sophomore. But if you stay here, you're already a junior, and next year you're a senior, and we're telling you you're not going to play. What are you going to do? And then people say, well, God, there's a huge problem with the transfer portal because everybody's getting money. The top 2-4% are getting money. Over half the portal is guys whose college coaches said, get the heck out of here. We need your scholarship.
Wow. And with NIL, I want to talk about this and dive into NIL a little bit because in recruiting, does it make it harder or easier for you to do your job? Andrew Nemec, he is the director of national recruiting for Scorebook Live, sitting down with us, Dustin Friends on the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're talking with Andrew Nemec. He is the National Director of Recruiting for Scorebook Live. I appreciate you opening up, telling your story to us earlier. Now we're just kind of getting into the weeds a little bit of what you do. How hard is it in name, image, and likeness now to cover the sport? Is it easier to just follow the money? Or?
It's really hard, man. It's hard. It's harder.
Is it going to make it... Okay.
It's harder. Can I give you an example?
At 100%.
Okay, so... There was a stretch there where I literally wrote an article because Rivals historically has done a very bad job predicting Oregon commitments. They predicted that Justin Flo would end up at USC when we all knew he was going to Oregon at that point.
Right.
They predicted, I'm going to not get everybody, but they predicted Kayvon Thibodeau would go to Alabama day of. That one was very close. I give them a pass on that, but you know, I'm pretty conservative and I went like, hey, Oregon fans, you might want to tune into this one. Cause I feel what I'm hearing is very positive.
Right.
And I'm on the more conservative side of selling. They're going to get this guy. And then JT Tuimoloau.
Right.
They had two experts on signing day sit down and pick, and they both picked Oregon, and 4 months later, Ohio State. So they had a history of not being right. And they picked Josh Connerly to Oregon. I had just done an interview with Connerly when that prediction came out.
Okay.
And he told me, I'm announcing a top five. I have six right now. I'm announcing a top five. I'm cutting Oregon. And so this is a very typical thing in recruiting that people don't know. Unless you're a national guy, when you're a team site guy, if you build a relationship, like I had a really good relationship with Tua Tagovailoa, because I wrote a big story about him. He was a big Marcus fan.
Right.
He was like a freshman sophomore. So I knew Tua and his family really well when he was young. And then once he eliminated Oregon, we kind of had the like, hey, man, it's been nice getting to know you, but like I have to do hundreds of interviews and nothing I say to you is relevant anymore. I cut your school. So it was nice getting to know you. That's it.
Yeah.
So Connerly and I had that conversation. Like, hey, man, it's nice to know you, but Oregon's kind of done.
Okay, bye.
So like within 48 hours, Rivals was like, you know, Josh Connerly to Oregon. And people hit me up. They're like, whoa, Josh Connerly to Oregon. I was like, well, apparently he's announcing a top five and cutting Oregon like any minute, any day now.
Really?
He decided not to. He kept it at six.
Okay.
Oregon got a visit. They were close-ish.
Yeah.
They were in it. They were fourth. I know that to be true. Not only does that follow my reporting, but I've sourced it since he committed to Oregon. At that time, Oregon was fourth, and not even the first option in the Pac-12.
It's not even getting a medal.
Not even on the medal stand. Fourth. Yikes. They got a last-minute visit. NIL probably played a pretty significant role because he was going to go to USC, and he went to Oregon.
Hmm.
Well, I had wrote an article that was like, hey, Rivals is probably going to be wrong again because they have Connerly to Oregon, and I'm just telling you, pump the brakes there because I just talked to him, and he's eliminating Oregon tomorrow. Fast forward 6 months, he's going to Oregon, and NIL played a huge role. So it's harder to predict. It really is. You know, Dante Dowdell is a four-star running back out of Mississippi, and he had 100% of predictions were to Ole Miss. Well, guess where he committed this weekend? Oregon. Guess what Oregon desperately needed? Running back. Interesting. You know, and you even had people write. Looks like the Connerly approach here. I mean, so it's harder to predict. In terms of just being smart, it helps you if you're just conservative with it.
Mm.
I mean, why do you need to say, Oregon's got no shot here. Oregon State's got no shot here. Miami's got no... Don't say that. If a school's in the mix and they're recruiting him, just don't be blustery. Like, it's tamped down my most hot take in recruiting because I can be right and I can know. I knew all along that JT Tuimoloau never had Oregon in his top two. And people say, well, he canceled his Alabama visit and still went to Oregon. They ended up finishing second. No, his connecting flight, because he did back-to-back visits from Ohio State to Oregon, his official visits that the school pays for, Oregon paid half the leg because it's from Columbus to Oregon. So he would have had to cancel the Oregon half, make Ohio State pay the other half. So he just didn't cancel the Oregon visit because they were connected. They were back-to-back visits. So he eliminated, air quotes, Alabama. The reality was he committed to Ohio State based on his visit and then went, well, my connecting flight's to Eugene, so I can't really cancel. So he took that. So Oregon still kind of finished third because he wanted to go to an NFL factory.
I remember, though, that the...
And people picked Oregon.
Yeah, I remember in the Talanoa Hufanga recruitment, you caught a lot of flack because you were saying, no, like, Oregon State... You know, he's from Crescent Valley, but Oregon State isn't going to be the school that he's going to go to. And you were pretty open with that because you knew he was going to be an SC guy.
He had a buddy that went to Oregon State, and so he would go there on the weekends to hang out.
Wasn't it a brother? Did a brother go? Yeah.
And not necessarily, I'm not saying like to party, but he would go there to hang out on the weekends and stay with his brother. It's way more fun to stay in a college town on the weekends than it is to stay at home.
Right.
So he was doing that.
Yeah.
He eliminated Oregon State from his top seven. I mean, they weren't even in the ballpark.
Yeah.
And I had all the way through, even after he signed, Oregon State told me, all the way after he signed, we were in his top. We almost got him. And I'm telling you, I talked to Talanoa, and he was like, no, I told them no. I just liked going to hang out with my brother. But I eliminated them at 7, and that was, they were done.
That was it.
And yeah. Oregon State spent so much of their time like, well, we think we might get a 5-star say. You're not getting a 5-star say. He's not coming. And they were adamant. Well, he comes to the football office. He comes to work out in the mornings because he lives with his brother on the weekends.
But yeah.
He's not coming to Oregon State. And they were adamant. Yeah, that stuff happens. It's very strange.
There's, with NIL, you know, the rich are going to get richer, right?
Yes.
But.
Which is Nick Saban's big thing. By the way, if you have a hatred of Nick Saban, adjust your dial. He actually really gets it. And it really kind of sucks, but people hate him because he's the big bad. He's the Darth Vader of college football. You know who was against NIL? He was for NIL. You know who was against the way that NIL was going to go because he knew? He said, listen, it's going to go to whatever programs pay kids the most. Guess who per player pays kids the most? We do. We're going to get all the best players. And sure enough, they've plucked, you know, Kentucky's best player and the best receiver out of the, you know, that's what Alabama's done.
And that is, well, he's honest because he shoots the warning shot across your bow and says, look, the transfer portal, we will get the best players out of the portal. What did they get? They got starters from like all of their rivals. They got a starter from Georgia. They got a starter from LSU. They got the starter from Vanderbilt. He's like, no, we'll get all of these guys. There is some blunt honesty there. But does it also open up the doors for some of the periphery schools that have a rich tradition, have a ton of money, to get back into the game, a la, you know, whether it's Tennessee or now USC and Oregon, to really compete more because you have some deeper pocketbooks?
Yeah, look at Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a billionaire booster who's close family friends. I think he might be Mario's brother-in-law, by the way. Like, there's he's a relative.
Oh.
I'm fairly certain that's right. Which I don't think people know, but anyway.
But that's going to be a scary one, and then they get humming too.
When you got a lot of money to throw around because you have tradition, but you're down, you know, I kind of wonder if Nebraska can put it together. That's a fascinating one to me. Can Nebraska, they have tradition in college football. Do they have the money backing? Farmer money is real money, man. Like, they might have some real money.
How much money will it take to get somebody to Lincoln, Nebraska?
I mean, you know, I do wonder, and we're seeing, you know, oh, crap, we're Tennessee and we haven't gotten a quarterback. Let's throw $8 million at the Los Alamitos quarterback and go ahead and hit the ground running here. I think there are programs that are trying to do it that way. Unfortunately, it's a big investment in one player.
Right.
And if you're wrong, it's going to be really tough to like, well, do we have $8 million for another quarterback? Because, I mean, Nico might pan out and he might be great. But if he's a bust, if he's a 5-star that doesn't work out, they happen. You know, as Jacob Eason was the number one quarterback in the nation. He went to Georgia and Washington. He didn't work out. If Nico doesn't work out, Tennessee bet $8 million on a quarterback to help salvage their program.
You remember JT Daniels? JT Daniels, he was a star.
He almost was the salvation of Oregon State's football program this year.
How close was that?
How much is NIL worth to you?
Oh, boy. Because JT Daniels, remember, high school senior, he was supposed to be a high school senior at Mater Dei, and he was the starting quarterback because he re-enlisted and played a year early. He's on his third school now. He's at Missouri now.
Like, yeah, but he might end
that's
up
brutal.
Being, he might end up being good.
You know what? He might end up being good. That's a good point. 503-250-1080.
This is the elite scouting you come for.
Your questions. We got a bunch of them over the course of the show for Andrew Nemec coming up after us with SportsCenter.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. We've had an awesome talk with you, Nemec, and now it's time for the people to ask their questions. You know, here's an interesting question. Like, if the NCAA collapses, what is the future of recruiting and people who cover recruiting? Like, do you ever worry about that? The NCAA just like folding? It's not really going to change recruiting. They're still going to have to recruit, right?
It's not going to change my job. I've never heard from them. I don't deal with them.
You'll just become a salary cap expert instead of a recruiting expert.
I mean,
just change the title.
Sometimes I feel like I am right now.
How much have the payments gone up in NIL. They have gone way up.
On Three Sports, comically, has that valuation of how much guys are worth. Have you seen this?
No.
With every prospect. That's one of their things. How much is this guy worth in the NIL?
That's funny.
They had Nico at $300,000. Nico got $8
million. Hey, yo.
They had Connerly.
Yeah, that's the Tennessee overpaying to be relevant, though.
They had more Connerly at like $100,000. And the rumors, it's been written in places. I'm not spoiling anything. The rumors are that he got seven figures to go to Oregon. That's a rumor.
So they're
by
a little
way,
off.
I actually can't confirm that one. Really, truly, I can't confirm.
Yeah. Numbers are a little off, though.
They have guys at $30,000 to $40,000 who publicly, it's out there, got, you know, a three-star defensive lineman just got $100,000.
What, like, people aren't, if we're talking like a close. Trevor Lawrence generational type quarterback, like, what would his number have been, theoretically?
Depends on how desperate the school was. There's always maybe going to be a Tennessee, right? Like, Arch Manning right now might not need money because he's got a ton of it.
Right.
So what is Bronny James worth? He's, by the way, Bronny James is a good player. He's probably a top 50, top 60 talent in the country, but he's a 6'2" combo guard. That's not a big leaper. He's just a solid guard. He's good. He's a mid 4-star prospect. He's probably worth, in marketing terms, if LeBron starts going to all your games, he's probably worth like $25-30 million.
God, what?
Or more.
Dumbass NBA franchise is going to pay or draft him way too high just so they get his dad.
The Kings, probably, right?
The Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do it, Blazers. All right. And more texts, 503-250-1080. This one says, what do you think of Jaden Rashada's announcement tomorrow? Does Oregon have a shot at landing him?
So
who's Jaden Rashada?
He's a 5-star quarterback. From Pittsburgh, California. Pittsburgh High School in California.
Ooh.
He just visited Oregon in a surprise visit this weekend, and he announced that he has an announcement tomorrow. I am told that is not a commitment. He is not committed. Now, he could change his mind. And so with NIL, you never know.
Right.
He could be changing his mind. As of the time he tweeted, I have an announcement tomorrow, it was not a commitment.
Okay.
He might be trimming his list. He might be announcing his full official visit schedule.
Yeah.
He's already committed to the Under Armour All-American game, so it's not an All-American game invite.
See, here are his last three tweets in order. Eugene, I'm on the way. Next one is Eugene with the little pin, because that's what you do.
Yep.
And a little duck emoji.
And then big announcement.
And then announcement tomorrow at 12.
Yeah. I think
I can see where people are getting the idea that he may go. Especially because Oregon has a rich history of recruiting that area very well, because that was Nick Aliotti territory down there at Pittsburgh.
The one caveat I would say right now is pay attention closely. If you're an Oregon fan, if you're a doomsday prepper, pay attention to how poorly they've done with quarterbacks. Not just developing them in the last couple years, but also the recruitment of them. They didn't get one last year. They didn't get one. They took Bo Nix, who's very hit or miss. Despite what you saw in the spring game, you saw hit. He can also be very, very miss. They went after Nico, didn't get him.
Yeah.
The Jaden Rashada recruitment has been up and down. He took this visit, but he's been not pleased with the pitch from Oregon at times. It has not always gone well. Dante Moore, they've hosted, and they did this whole Dante Moore's our guy, and Kenny Dillingham tweeted, Dante Moore's our guy. Well, how do you think that made Jaden Rashada feel? And then Kenny Dillingham retweeted all this stuff. Jaden Rashada's our guy from the fans. How do you think that made Dante Moore feel? There's an approach issue right now. And I'm telling you, quarterbacks talk. They all go to camps together.
They do all go to camps together.
They all know each other. And if you're doing the retweet, he's our guy with the fan base all the time, guess who talks about it together? And I'm telling you, I know some of that is going on and some of it's a problem.
See, that's a slippery
slope. And Oregon
slope.
Needs to fix it fast. And by the way, they've been told that they need to fix it. It's enough of an issue. They've been told, you need to stop mass retweeting, this quarterback's our guy, because you did it with Nico, which then, how do you think Jaden Rashada and Dante Moore, two other 5-star quarterbacks, felt when then he went to Tennessee and now you go, well, now you're our guy. Yes, that stuff happens, but don't put it all over social media.
Yeah.
No one wants your big board to be all over the place for everyone to read. It's the social media equivalent of Jerry Jones showing everyone the draft card. It's the exact same thing. Oregon's doing it with quarterbacks. They need to fix it.
All right, 503-250-1080. This one came in earlier. We were talking about high school basketball, and this text says, if Oregon and Washington high school recruits played each other, which state would win?
Okay.
Which one? Well, football or basketball? Boy.
Basketball, they do. They yeah. have a battle of the borders. Washington always wins. In football, it would be such a massive butt-kicking, they would not play the game. And people can say, well, they're not that far apart. 2 years ago, last year, Washington had the number one overall prospect in the country, the number one quarterback in the country, the number one wide receiver in the country, and in their class below that, 2 5-star recruits, a 5-star offensive tackle and a 5-star defensive lineman. They have, every year, something like 7 to 10 4-star recruits. Their yearly output is Oregon's best year ever. Those, you know, the Elijah Molden, Marlon Tuipulotu year, you know, Trey Lowe, all those guys. Their average year is about as good as Oregon's best year ever. And their best year ever, which was 2 years ago, included, again, the number one quarterback, the number one overall recruit, and the number one wide receiver in the country. Washington would win 56-0.
Yeah, no, do they have our grit?
Right. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. No.
They're, you know, if you go by classes and don't always go by senior year, that would mean their 20th best kid would still be a high 4-star recruit. Wow. The 20th best kid in Oregon. He might be a sophomore, but he'd be, you know, they have sophomores right now who have offers from Alabama. Jeez. Oregon has one player who has an offer from Alabama. It's Riley Williams. So there's a huge gap. Washington's on the come up. Washington's probably a top 20 producer of talent in the country right now. Oregon's outside the top 30 right now. It's not good.
I have this question came in earlier in the show, and I think it's a good one that we will end on next. And it's about how does a kid get noticed? We have Andrew Nemec. He is a recruiting show with Andrew Nemec right here on The Fan. Scorebook Live's Director of National Recruiting. Dusty and Friends on The Fan.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
503-250-1080. That is The Fan text line. We got questions for Andrew Nemec. He is the director of recruiting for Scorebook Live.
Suk is so awesome right now.
He almost, Sukanik almost kissed me. He almost kissed my face. He was so close. To me.
Looked like he was more likely to Tyson bite your ear off than he was to kiss you.
Some may call that foreplay. Anyways, here we have questions for you. This one comes, and this is, I think this is an interesting one, and I'd love to get your perspective on it. We had Joe Bushman on and Alex Brink last week.
Two great guys, by the way.
Great dudes.
I love both those guys.
And they gave advice on, you know, how to get seen and get noticed, but we got a lot of parents that are listening. This one says, I'm a dad of a ninth grader out at Scappoose. He's an honor student, loves basketball. He's also 6'7" and a half. My God. And just turned 15. This summer, we're focusing on strength and conditioning, getting his feet a little faster. But we have no idea where to start with AAU or college recruiting. Thanks. Yeah, that's a tough one. Is like, where do you start with that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and I think especially when you're in a small town, the key is, and this has tripped up a number of folks, instead of insulating and doing, this is an example, I don't think this area has done this necessarily, do like, hey, we're going to create our own 7-on-7 group because we have like 5-6 kids that want to compete. So we're going to be a Medford all-star team.
Right.
It's like, well, you're going to go to the national tournaments and get waxed because Florida's team is all of South Florida. You know, like you're not going to beat the South Florida Express.
Wrong.
So find good competition. Find good on good. The other problem that people have is, hey, I'm a freshman. I played JV this year for Scappoose, or I played varsity, and I was second team all league. That is great.
Uh-huh.
Now go play all the first team all state guys. Find where those guys are.
Yeah.
And compete against them in practice. Compete to play on those teams because you will get better and you will learn where you belong in the pecking order by doing that. That I don't mean specialize, run track. Compete in multiple sports. Expand your horizons in terms of what kind of athlete you are. But whatever sport you want to be the best in, You need to be competing, especially if you're in like 3A, 4A. You need to find a place where your reps are good on good somewhere.
Yep.
Because you going up, if you're 6'7 in Scappoose and you're being guarded by the 6'2 center for whoever, you're not learning or getting any better. And that doesn't mean transfer. It's just in the off season, find good on good competition and compete like heck for it.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I mean, now that you're the third person to come on, and we've had different fields as we've gone from a college football coach in Bushman to a trainer in Alex Brink, now you on the recruiting side, all three of you have said play multiple sports and kind of push yourself and put yourself out there, because you're not going to know whether the worst thing that you can do is go in play, like you were saying, against like a 6'2 center and not challenge yourself.
I dropped 20 and 15. Cool. That kid is not, he's going to go be a student somewhere.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
But he's not going to go be a basketball player somewhere.
But you need those reps, because even if it doesn't go well, you're learning how to play against that type of competition. It's going to take a little while, too, especially if you're kind of late getting into that game of the AAU circuits and all that stuff.
And the best kids, like Darius Clemens, is at Michigan. And he scored a touchdown as a true freshman coming early to Michigan, okay? He started going to camps, and I actually don't condone this. This was so early. But to give you an idea, he started going to the elite camps in the seventh grade, and he got cooked sometimes. But guess what? He wasn't afraid to compete. And by the time his reps mattered, when he was a sophomore, when people were like, okay, who is this kid? By the way, that's the other piece. People think, well, I'm good as a junior or senior. It's over. Mm. If you're not good as a sophomore, if you're not on the radar as a sophomore, by the end of your sophomore season, you're not going to camps and being a guy. You're not a guy.
Yeah.
You're not. I mean, you're just not. So when his reps mattered in camps, he knew what lines to get in. He knew where to go. He wasn't scared of the moment. He wasn't intimidated about there's a huge group of 15 receivers trying to get a rep. Pushed to the front, because he'd done it for 3 or 4 years already. So by the time he was getting those crucial sophomore reps, he wasn't worried about, you know, what's the protocol for which line I should be? He knew where to be because he'd already done it. If you're going as a junior heading into your senior year to camps for the first time and you don't know where to go and nobody knows your name, unless you're a superstar, it's going to be hard to find you because they'll take the sophomore that's already as good as you and knows where to be and knows what to do over the junior who just now is on the radar because he's a 6'3", 250-pound lineman. Cool. Gain 30 pounds, grow 2 inches. You know, I mean,
yep.
It's tough.
True. Here's a one last question that we got. What's the story you regret writing, or one story that you get the most hate about? Is there one in particular that sticks out to you? Like, oh boy.
There is. The story that I got the most hate for, and I still occasionally do, and the backstory is funny, is there was a Northwest Showcase camp, and Oregon State sent 14 coaches, and Oregon sent zero. And that was during the Helfrich era of, we don't care, we're too big.
Mm-hmm.
And my point was, Oregon State's investing in the state. Oregon is not. And it's going to bite them. And I wrote it, and the final was final score. Was something in the last line was like, final score, Oregon State 14, Oregon 0. My point was not, Oregon State's better than Oregon.
Right.
My point was, Oregon State is investing resources that Oregon isn't. And if Oregon's not careful, it's going to hurt them. That was the Elijah Molden to Washington year. Marlon Tuipulotu to USC. The next year, Talanoa to USC. Chase Cota to UCLA. They lost a bunch of kids. Trey Lowe went up to Washington initially. They did miss on all those kids.
Yeah.
The point was valid. I just wrote it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And forever, when Oregon got a 4-star guy or a good recruit, people would send me, Oregon State leads, though, 14-0, right, Nemec? Forever.
See, that's another, funny, though. That is funny.
I had another writer take a shot and write a column that was like, what a joke this article is, and then write me and say, you're actually right, but I could score a lot of points by taking a shot at you right now, so I don't speak to that guy anymore. The other funny piece about that story is Oregon told me they were wrong. They called the camp. I heard from the camp organizer and apologized. You know who the camp organizer was? Don Johnson Jr.
Oh, who works there?
Helfrich was the guest speaker the next year.
No way.
So they knew they screwed up, but the way I wrote it was, I regret it. The way I wrote it was wrong. I should have written it not as a comparison, but as an Oregon needs to invest in the state because there's a good group coming up, and if they don't invest in those kids, it's going to come back to bite them because they have no presence in Oregon.
Yeah, you suck, Nemec. Why do you hate Oregon?
So I took shots for that one.
Yeah.
And a lot. People were mad.
But you know what? Oregon State fans, they forgot about that one pretty quick.
Yeah, Oregon State fans.
Now you hate Oregon State, and you hate Oregon, and you hate everybody.
Well, I said Oregon State might have missed out on JT Daniels because he got paid at West Virginia, is what I said. Mm. And one of the texters was like, that's why Oregon State fans hate Nemec. And that's generally what happens, is I'll say something like, yeah, it's, you know, Oregon State, it looks like they're going to finish second for this kid. And people are like, this is why we hate you. And then the kid commits, and he doesn't pick Oregon State, and they're like, there's crickets then after, like, oh, you were right?
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Oh, brutal. Thanks, man.
Thank you for being here. National issues now. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, now you, oh, really? Just wait till you piss off the SEC, bud.
Oh, it's going to be wild.
Yeah. They're going to be like, oh, I get it now. He lives in Oregon. All right. Nemec, thank you very much. If you missed any of us talking Nemec's path to being the director of recruiting for Scorebook Live, check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Appreciate you opening up and talking with us, man.
Of course, that was fun.
All right, up next, we got Primetime from 3 to 7 with Isaac and Souk. See you Tuesday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.